How many people do you think have already been targeted in AI voice scams? Did you know everything on the internet is fake? There's a brand new image model doing crazy things. That and a whole lot more on today's Random Thoughts. Hello and welcome to episode number 365 of the Random Thoughts podcast. That is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill. 365 episodes. So finally, you can listen to one a day and get through a complete year. Unless it's a leap year, then you have to wait, I guess, to episode number 366. And like a lot of these episodes lately, Mark Kodra is the one and only backer of the show. So executive producer title once again to Mark, who came in with $5.55. But I will remind you how to donate to the show again at the end. It's pretty easy though. randomthoughts.com/donate. There's more AI stuff in the news. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. ESPN taking some heat for using some really bad AI representations. They took photos, I guess, of things that happened in the NBA and then created videos using AI instead of, using actual videos that they had. People were not happy. I guess that was just game one, and then they stopped. But this is going to be the interesting thing when networks start using AI for things that people just don't want them to use it for. And if it's noticeable, you probably shouldn't be using it anyway. The reaction should be, hey, that was a great video. What game was that? I don't remember that. And then it'll be like, ha, didn't exist. Like a lot on the internet, doesn't exist. Never really happened. And I don't know if people are figuring that out yet. I feel way healthier for understanding that almost everything that I'm going to see on social media or online in general is not real. It just doesn't happen in reality. It is a lie, or at the very least a misleading statement if it's in text form. And then when it comes to audio, video, images, most likely, I just assume everything is fake, and your world becomes much better when you just assume everything you're being told on the internet, everything you see on the internet, everything you hear on the internet is most likely a lie, unless you can do the work and prove that it's true. Fox News had an article yesterday. I know I like to pick on Fox, but they make it so easy. They went from Kim Komando, who was a horrible tech journalist, put that in air quotes, to now this tech guy, Kurt Knudsen, and he's even worse, I think. The headline of the article, 1 in 4 adults already targeted by AI voice cons that mimic loved ones. 1 in 4. I don't believe that for even the briefest of seconds. 1 in 4 has been targeted in an AI voice con, according to Fox News and their intrepid text reporter, Kurt Knudsen. 1 in 4, no. I mean, if you would have said 5%, maybe even 10%, but that seems high. So I'll ask you, intrepid listeners of the Random Thoughts podcast, is anybody that you know been targeted and received, in this case, what they're talking about? I did a show on this, I remember. I know my buddy Larry Blydener that I do the Planet Raid show with every Mondays, and we have a whole lot of fun. He just did episode 500 of his solo show about adult babies and other crazy things over at thatlarryshow.com. And he credits me and this show in particular for being way ahead of the game when it comes to this AI fakery and why it wasn't just going to be political candidates like Donald Trump or Joe Biden that were going to be fake, that it was going to be people you know being faked in order to try to separate you from your money or your Bitcoin or whatever it is. Fox News reporting 1 in 4 have already been targeted. I don't believe that. But these voice scams would be ones that would call somebody up, pretend to be a loved one, and demand money. Oh no, I'm in big trouble. I'm in Mexico and I pistol whipped a hooker and I need cash. I mean, who hasn't gotten that phone call yet? But the article did break down a few things, which I think I've already gone through on this show. But they gave the basic blueprint to how this works. I think a lot of people, when they hear this, like, how is anybody going to do that to me? Well, it's pretty easy. I'm also going to point you to the link in my show notes as of late, which nobody has signed up. I'm surprised they did a whole show about how the privacy site Incogni works, removing your name and address and phone number from all sorts of data brokers on the internet. This is not an ad. I am not being sponsored by them, but if you sign up with the link in any of my shows, then yeah, there is a referral. But got this because my dad wanted it, because their phones were like ringing off the hook with scam calls. And once this went through, once Incogni did its thing, those have dropped off dramatically, because this is how this system works with the AI voice cons. They just need to put you together with a loved one. And it's not hard, especially if your kids lived with you. It's very simple. When somebody looks up, finds you in one of these databases, most of them actually have a segment besides giving your name and address and phone number and emails, whatever they have, possible connections, possible relatives, and they give the names. So if somebody's able to then go find one of those relatives, so if somebody finds you in one of these data broker sites and there's a list of your kids or your grandkids, and your kid or your grandkid just happens to do YouTube videos or have a podcast or possibly a TikTok account or an Instagram, anything where they may have spoken with the little video that they've released. This article pointed out they only need 3 seconds of audio. Most of the things that I've seen use at least 6 seconds, but that is splitting hairs, because you could just double the 3 second, and most likely it's going to be close enough to fool people who are unaware of the technology. You don't have to be perfect if the person on the other end of the phone isn't aware of the technology. If somebody isn't aware that this is out there and they get a phone call and it says, "Grandpa, I need help," and it sounds anything like their grandkid and has the information, because again, these data brokers are going to have your name, going to have your address, going to have your phone number. And if there's anything on social media that goes any further than that, tying you and these family members together, I mean, those details that people never consider, which is why I've always hated things like Instagram and the people that post all sorts of photos like, hey, I'm leaving on vacation today. We're at the airport. That is the dumbest thing you could possibly do. I mean, if you really need to post photos of your vacation, do it once you get home. But right there is an opening for somebody. They see somebody's kids are leaving for Mexico. Well, then they're going to call that person up and be like, Mom, it's me. I'm in Mexico. Help. Send me gift cards. Well, because it's never something legit. It's either, oh, can you go get a bunch of gift cards? Because that's the way we need to do it. Or can you buy some Bitcoin? Can you go to that Bitcoin machine down the street? Yeah, there are Bitcoin ATMs, believe it or not. Or some of them, if they are in the area and they are really targeting you, will have somebody pretending to be a bail bondsman or law enforcement or something. And they'll be like, somebody's going to show up at the door. Can you give them $10,000 in cash? And people are doing it, I guess. I don't believe 1 in 4, but I believe it's happened to a decent amount of people because they don't understand the technology. They don't understand how easy it is to connect people to their friends and relatives because of these data broker sites. They don't understand that somebody could fake a voice, so they don't even consider it. The reality, as I have also talked about here, is you can now fake the image as well. So you could even do a FaceTime or something like that where somebody can see you even more so, selling the illusion that they are talking to somebody that they are not. And it comes down to a few things that you can do. One, use something like Incogni, yeah, and I'd get a kickback if you do it with my link, but it would get you off of a lot of the data broker sites. And then beyond that, have a password, have a keyword that your immediate family knows, that if you ever need to verify their identity, you know, they'll ask you a question like, hey, how's Jimmy? And there is no Jimmy. So the how's Jimmy is really a secret question for you to say plantain or banana or something like that in order for the person you're talking to verify it's you without having to, you know, go through anything crazy. Also calling people back at their number, unless their phone has been compromised, also a good idea. Tell you to do that when your bank or something like that comes out to you too with, oh no, we need your information. Well, let me call you back. I want to really verify that I'm talking to who I think I'm talking to. So the password with your family makes a lot of sense. The calling back makes a lot of sense. And again, have this conversation. A lot of times it's like, parents, have your conversation with your kids. No, in this case, it's probably kids. Have this conversation with your parents to let them know that this technology exists. And somebody might call them up one day and try to get them to send money. And it might sound like you, but it's not really going to be you. They work on the principle that, oh no, there's been an accident. Oh no, somebody's in jail. Oh no, we need to work fast. Anytime somebody's trying to get money out of you and it's like, we have to do it now, it's quick, we got to do it, don't even think about it. Well, that's when you should really be thinking about it. So understand these scams exist and have the conversation with the people that you know to let them know this technology is there. I remember like 20 years ago, it seems, telling my parents, caller ID? Oh yeah, it's nice, but do not believe it. Caller ID has always been able to be spoofed, to be faked. So just because little Jimmy's picture comes up and says it's little Jimmy calling, and the other end of the phone sounds like little Jimmy, does not mean it's little Jimmy. You have to be aware of that, because otherwise you will get scammed. You will get separated from your money. Everything on the internet is fake, just the way it is. It's kind of interesting watching these things. There's a lot of little video shorts that show up on X, which is really the only place I see them, because I don't go to TikTok. I don't go to Instagram. I avoid shorts at all costs on YouTube, where I like to watch more long form videos. Been watching Justin Skard's series, and he's an interesting guy. He's been around for a long time and started a YouTube channel probably over 10 years ago where it was all Disney. He kept going into Disneyland and doing things on Disney, and he has now expanded onto things like he's done a couple of trips up and down Route 66, which are fantastic. The oddities up and down that road, those long form videos I like, but the things that are like, here's 15 seconds of something, oh my goodness, you know what you're about to see is either a hot chick dancing or something that's fake. And I've seen a few of these semi-truck accident videos, and the video itself pretends it's a dash cam, but at the end the camera like turns so you can see the driver and out the driver's window. And I'm thinking, who doesn't understand that this means it's not a dash cam? And two, somebody just happened to be videoing this as this amazing accident thing, whatever it is, happened. What are the odds of that? So many times, if you really thought about how the video you're looking at came into be, you know, especially when there's like 10, 15 seconds at the beginning of the video where nothing really happens and then the big thing happens. Well, why was somebody videoing this? And oh, just accidentally caught this on video. It doesn't make sense. Also, verify everything. I responded to one of these the other day, and I was happy the day later when I got the little alert on X saying, hey, a community note has been added to a thread that you responded to. Because the community note was exactly what I said. This person posted this. Right-wing influencer, you know, 250,000, whatever it was, followers. Oh, no, this person just saved rainwater and they put him in jail. And then you look into the case, you just do a simple search on the name, and the guy had created dams on his property, illegally stopping the flow into a little river stream, whatever he had there. But it was also something that happened in 2012, and somebody's posting this yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever it was, with, oh no, the government overreach, they're coming for you. Like, well, one, this was 15 years ago, 14 years ago now. And two, they're not, because the story you're telling is a lie, because you are leaving out some of the key information. But this is what the internet has turned into. Do not expect anything you see on social media to be correct, to be factual, to be 100% the gospel truth, because most of the time, it is not. Quite often, it is 100% propaganda. And the world is at a place right now where it has never been clearer that propaganda is ruling everything that we see. And there's some simple cases recently. One, Donald Trump going to the NBA Finals game. Some people will tell you, oh, no, he was booed mercilessly. That's all. Everybody booed him. Nobody liked him there at all. Now, if you're listening to the ABC footage of it, definitely mixed. If anything, I would say it was about 60 to 70% people cheering with 30 to 40% booing. And if you hear some of the videos that people post, some really sound like it was booing and some sound like they were hardly booing, because it depends where you are. When you have a cell phone in your hand and you're taking video at an event. Now, if you're standing, if you're a Trump hater and you're standing with 20 Trump haters and you all boo in your little section, man, it's going to sound like he was booed out of the place. But if you and your 20 friends are all Trump lovers and you cheer, well, it's going to sound like he was cheered. Using those videos to prove anything about the venue as a whole in the reaction does not make sense, because that is not giving you an accurate take. Now, the ABC footage, I would think, would be the most accurate. They've got microphones around the place, and I think that would be your best way to kind of guess overall, but it also depends where those microphones are. And you have to understand, this was a bunch of rich people, so they're probably Trump hate. If you're rich and in New York, yeah, love that new Mam Dani commie dude that wants to take all your money and ruin all your businesses, but man, you hate Trump. But it was obvious from looking at Drudge especially, oh no, video, Trump was booed out of the place. But then you got the right wing, oh no, here's video, people were cheering, and there were cheers of USA, USA, so I'm guessing that was for Donald Trump. I don't know otherwise. There's cheers coming out of USA, USA, but maybe I'm wrong. Did that happen at any of the first two games? If they did, let me know. I don't think they have. But these are the fake and misleading things you're going to see. There was the Carmelo Anthony verdict. The track meeting turned deadly. And of course, there are people outside the courtroom saying, oh no, this was just a legalized lynching. This is a slaughterhouse, not a courthouse. The kid admits to stabbing somebody. He claims it was self-defense, but nobody around him corroborated that it was self-defense at all. At the most, we are hearing he was shoved. But if you're shoved and you pull out a knife and kill somebody, you are going to go to jail. That's the law. He admitted to doing it. And this is the kind of stuff that is further separating this country, dividing this country. And I believe there was a huge racial issue here, because Carmelo Anthony is black and the victim was white. So, of course, you know, it's got to be racist, because there's a black guy involved and a white guy involved. It's got to be something racist. Still don't hear anybody talking. Anybody seeing on the your local nightly news? Anybody seeing on CNN? Anybody seeing on MS Now? Anybody see anybody talking about the amount of black kids being killed in Chicago by other black kids? They don't talk about it. They don't care. Because the story doesn't fit their narrative. The media is there to divide us. The media is doing it for political reasons. I have no doubt in that. And it's from both sides. They are trying to divide, putting people in two completely different camps. So no, we can't be agreeing on anything. There must be our side and their side, and that's where things get dangerous. That's where people start losing their minds. That's where people start trying to shoot other people. And you're seeing the story in Belfast. Maybe you're not, but a migrant attacked a local with a knife, blinded him in one eye. I know how that feels. It's no fun, and had to be fought off. So now people are lighting housing on fire that they think migrants might be in. Should you condone violence? No, but I understand it. And I understand Ireland is a different place than the United States. Ireland was bombing and setting things on fire for decades because of the problem between Britain and Ireland. So it is no surprise that these same people were not that far down the line. The Troubles did not end that long ago. It is not a surprise that those folks, the way they're going to fight back is to bomb things, set things on fire, but they're going to fight back. The people in Ireland do not take any guff compared to the people in the United States. The people in the United States seem like sheeple who will just go, oh, somebody else will fix it. No, that's not how the Irish do it, man. It's not how the Irish do it. But of course, people are like, oh no, that's just thuggery. Can you believe these people are trying to get rid of migrants? Yeah, I can. Because we're seeing over and over and over again the places where the migrants come in, take over, and crime rates shoot up, and the culture that was existing in those areas is gone, is destroyed. So do I understand why people are upset? Yes. Yes, I do. People have a right to live the way that they want to live. That is the biggest issue with migration. If you're going to come into an area and then try to change the way things are done, you're going to have a problem. If you come in and you want to live like the people where you're living, then you have very little problem. Very little problem. But the way these stories are told online, I don't think it's any surprise to you because you're listening to this show. The way these stories are told will be vastly different if you are listening to somebody that is fair about what's going on, as opposed to somebody on the far left or somebody on the far right. And this all just goes in with a programming. All of these little things, all of these little videos, all of these little 15-second snippets, they are ruining people's ability to think and reason. I fully believe that. It's doing something because all of these things are trying to get a reaction out of you nearly instantaneously. Back in the day, you know, if you were reading a book, watching a movie, there was a buildup to something that was going to get you angry or to get that reaction that they want or they're going to try to get from you. They're going to try to get that emotion out of you no matter what it is. There was a buildup. And that helped give you that punch at the end, like, wow, you're so happy that the protagonist finally won. Where 15-second videos or less, your brain is just being short-circuited over and over and over again. And the amount of people that respond to these videos, like, I can't believe that! Like, you're watching a 15-second video that is most likely AI'd or completely faked in some way. Why are you getting spun up? If I can use the word Adam Curry over at No Agenda uses, why are you getting spun up from that? What in your life makes you watch a short video somewhere on the internet and decide you're going to let this make you mad when you know you should know? You have almost zero way to confirm what you just saw was accurate in any way, shape, or form. You have to be skeptical. You have to look at things understanding that the technology is now there, that nothing you see has to be true. Some of it I'm sure is, but it doesn't have to be true. Videos that you can make with free sources now, or the paid sources like Elon's Grok. But there's a bunch of free things too. If you have the right hardware, you can run them on your own machine. Make really believable videos, because people don't, again, they don't have to be perfect, because nobody looks at the details. Again, it amazes me when you see these videos of the trucks crashing and nobody's like, well, how did that camera move? Who's panning the camera? Who's holding that in the cab of the truck with the truck driver? I don't think there's anybody in there with them. And you see these things all the time and nobody ever questions how the there's like, I see video. It's scary. It's scary how dumb some people are. There is a new model, or maybe a new version of a model. This is the first time I have seen this one. It is version 4 of something called Ideogram. And it is an image creation model, but it works in a different way than any other image creation model that I've seen up until this point. Because most times, if you're going to use ChatGPT's model, if you're going to use Grok's model, if you're going to use Flux or Stable Diffusion, you have one box that you just type in what you want to see and you describe it as well as you can. Then you hit make it and it creates it, and maybe you get lucky and it's perfect, or maybe you need to move things around because it puts something in the image where it shouldn't be, or it's in the wrong place, or it's not exactly as you wanted it. The Ideogram 4 lets you work on a canvas. So you have a canvas that is either square if you're doing a 1:1 ratio, or it's taller if you're doing a 3:4, whatever your ratio is. You might be doing a widescreen. But you are basically, as if you were to go into Photoshop and just create a blank canvas at whatever size you wanted, with Ideogram, you can now draw, you know, with squares. You can take your tool and mark off different areas of the image and say, well, in this area, you know, I want the person. You know, in this area next to them, I want a shopping cart. In this area, I want this. In this area, I want that. Giving you complete control over where in the image everything that you're describing shows up. Giving a granular level of control that is unique for these image creation models as of this point. But this is where the technology is going, where you will then just describe the background, and then you just put in every object that you wanted. So just imagine you're doing a layout for a magazine that talks about high-end furnishings. Well, your first thing would be, well, let's just describe the room that these things are in, and then you could describe every piece of furniture and map out on the grid exactly where you want each piece of furniture, which will also take care of problems with scale and things like that. Because every now and then it's funny when you create an image of a person and the chair or the bed or the table, there's something in the area with them that makes it obvious that the person is either not the right size, or the bed or the table is really, really big or really, really small. Because these models still don't think, which is something I think everybody needs to be reminded of on almost every show here on Random Thoughts, that these AIs do not think. They reason at best within their little world, but they don't understand exactly how things interact. So getting this kind of control like you have in Ideogram 4 is going to make for even better images, even more realistic images that people will not be able to differentiate between what is AI and what is reality. And this is not going away. People in government will try to make laws. It doesn't matter. It's not going to work because nobody can tell what's real and what's AI. And we live in a world where the United States doesn't control the world. Europe doesn't control the world. And there's absolutely nothing you can do when you have something like the internet where things get pinged around from country to country to country. There's absolutely nothing you can do except to do what I did and just assume everything is a lie. Every video is AI or fake. And don't let yourself get angry about those things that you see online unless you can actually prove it's true. It is amazing to me the amount of people that will respond to these short videos that are obviously fake. Hundreds, if not thousands of people will respond at times, seemingly with zero idea that what they have just watched is fake. It's all about the clicks. That's all this is. News media, all about the clicks. Social media, all about the clicks. They are not providing you with anything of substance at all. Unlike this random thoughts episode, which is value for value. Today, all provided to you by Mark Kodra. Everybody thank Mark Kodra for this show. And this whole show was done by one simple human being, me, with a little page of notes here. Did not pause it at any point in time. Did not edit anything at all. And the notes I'll read just in case you care. 1 in 4 adults already targeted by AI voice cons that mimic loved ones. Phishing, sign in to verify, fake videos and posts on X, Ideogram 4, Image Model, Belfast Troubles, Carmelo Anthony verdict. And that's it. Those were the massive amount of notes which led to a half hour of content. Why? Because I did my homework and my research before the show. And because of that, was able to produce a show that I hope you enjoy. That's why we do the value for value thing here. And if you got any value, I know Mark Kodra gets value and God bless him, but help him out. He can't have the whole load right on him. Go over to randomthoughts.com, randumbthoughts.com/donate. All of the information is there. You can use PayPal for a one-time or monthly donation. You can use the QR codes or wallet addresses if you want to do the crypto thing. There's a P.O. Box address. Please, somebody start using that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get rid of it. I think the P.O. Boxes now are like $165 a year. It's insane. But any help you have that you can support the show with, it is appreciated. Tell a friend. Post about it on social media. And as far as the phishing sign in to verify, I didn't even mention that when talking about the voice cons. There's a lot of things going on, especially with Amazon having their big sale again, that are going out fake Amazon emails like, oh, your account is in trouble. Please sign in to verify. Then, of course, they take you somewhere else and then they take your Amazon login and then bad things happen. So always verify things. Don't trust emails that come into you. And you will be a much happier person. Just avoid the internet as a whole. Do that, you'll be happier. Trust me, just take along Random Thoughts. Take along Planet Rage. Take along That Larry Show. All of those will put your head in the right space. So thank you for spending the time to listen to this show. It is very much appreciated. I plan on being back with you again next week. Until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening.